Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It is Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay, October 12th, 2018. We are now a day away from the next Michigan State football game, as Michigan State will hit the road to Happy Valley to take on the Penn State Nittany Lions. That will be a 3 p.m. kickoff, 3:30 to be exact, I believe. And, you know, Michigan State, you know, we've been talking about the Spartans throughout the week and how many of you Spartan fans are just down and out. Michigan State is listed as a 13.5-point underdog in this matchup. A lot of things are going to have to turn around and go right if Michigan State is going to pull out this game. And, you know, I've got a few questions for our listeners out there today. First off, do you think all hope is lost with your Spartans? And heck, if Michigan State loses to Penn State tomorrow, I mean, how do you feel going into rivalry week against the Michigan Wolverines the following weekend, as the Spartans will welcome that school down the road, the Michigan Wolverines, to Spartan Stadium? Is all hope lost in your view with this team right now? I want to hear from you guys. And if Penn State does indeed beat Michigan State, I mean, you know, how do you get up for that rivalry matchup, right? I think Michigan State will, and fans will, because at the end of the day, it's still the Michigan and Michigan State rivalry, the backyard brawl, but without a doubt, some luster will be missing from that game. All right, so we'll dive into Michigan State and Penn State. Maybe I can tackle a few points to give Spartan fans hope that the Spartans have a chance in that matchup. All right. Also, as we briefly talked about near the end of the Thursday edition of Current Sports yesterday, Tom Izzo had some very emotional and candid comments to the press as he was made available during Big Ten men's basketball media days out in Chicago, Illinois. And Tom, for the first time, commented. And, well, I shouldn't say for the first time, because he did issue a brief statement when he was asked about the NCAA clearing his program of any wrongdoing, when it comes to the whole ESPN situation, you know, Travis Walton and company, Paula Levine's reporting, Izzo's program has been cleared. And also a report came out that Michigan State was one of the few schools that said, no, we are not paying you, Brian Bowen. So Izzo gave a brief statement during the opening practice of Michigan State men's basketball, but I mean, he let the lid come off yesterday. And in a way, I'm sure Izzo feels vindicated, and you can hear it in the tone when he addressed the questions that he got yesterday in Chicago about, you know, his emotion of trying to move forward with his Michigan State men's basketball program. And he didn't even want to use the word move forward, because that can sound, you know, he got some heat for that last year when he used that, you know, saying, oh, you just want to move on from all of this drama. I mean, it just sounds bad
from a moral standpoint, but, you know, Izzo has some words and had some words for the report of ESPN and for his face, along with Mark D'Antonio's being placed on ESPN next to the pedophile that is Larry Nassar. We're going to play you some of the audio from that interaction that you don't want to miss. All right, and we'll have reaction from you all as it pertains to Izzo's comments, okay? Also, as promised, we'll have Tim Hurd, president of Rising Black Men. We'll have part two of my chat with him as we dove into yesterday in part one, the whole national anthem protest in the world of professional sports and Nike deciding to sign Colin Kaepernick and how that image has an impact on young black men and how young black men view athletes who look like them, who are black, how they view those superstars, those idols, and how that changes their perception that athletes aren't just athletes. That was awesome. If you missed that, just go to WKAR.org. And on today's part two, you will hear Tim's thoughts on the now freshman class here at Michigan State University that is the largest and most diverse class in the history of this great university, and how that has impacted his organization. And also, you'll hear the partnership that Tim is building with Michigan State University Athletics. And we'll have in studio, we hope to have some representatives from the ABA basketball team here in Lansing that's just getting underway. Should be getting underway soon, I should say. Come next month, the Lansing Legends, they will talk about a cheerleading tryout for any interested cheerleaders out there that want to root on the Lansing Legends in year one. And of course, we'll have Reflection Friday on the back end of the show. So a busy, busy current sports, multiple ways in which you can join the fun. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream there. And you can go to Twitter, tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team. He wanted to talk about defending champion Michigan State, but defending Big Ten champion Michigan State's upcoming year at Big Ten Media Days. Instead, he used Thursday to get a few things off of his chest. 9 months worth of grievances emphatically poured out of Izzo during his nearly hour-long roundtable with reporters. The 24th-year head coach reserved his strongest comments for the worldwide leader, ESPN, and its usage of a photo with Izzo, football coach Mark D'Antonio, and disgraced sports medicine doctor Larry Nassar during the Outside the Line segment on sexual assault allegations in the football and basketball programs. You'll get to hear from Tom Izzo in just a moment. And again, you don't want to miss it. If you have not already heard these comments, he has some points he wants to make, and we'll have a brief postscript discussion on those points. The Detroit Pistons and the Cleveland Cavaliers will play tonight at 7 p.m. in an NBA preseason game at the Breslin Center. How cool is that? This is the first time since Mateen Cleaves, his rookie year with the Pistons, that the NBA has held a preseason game at the Brez. That game in October of 2000 pitted the Pistons against the Utah Jazz. Before that, it was about a once-a-decade thing. the Pistons roster is probably more of a draw due to the audience than the Cavs, featuring Blake Griffin, Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson, Luke Kennard. With 20 players on Detroit's preseason roster, it's unclear how many of the regulars will play and how much. And as we all know, LeBron James decided to take his talents to the West Coast and join up with the Los Angeles Lakers, so he is no longer with the Cavs. But still, NBA preseason basketball at the Breslin Center tonight. I actually saw some footage of the Cavs and head coach Tyronn Lue being made available to the press yesterday, and they were warming up on the Breslin Center floor. Saw Tristan Thompson warming up and doing some things, so that's really cool. But again, NBA preseason basketball, Pistons and Cavs tonight at 7 p.m. Michigan State football will face its first-ranked team of the season tomorrow as the Spartans take on number 8 Penn State. 3:30 p.m. kick time at Beaver Stadium. The game will be televised on the Big Ten Network. MSU fell at home to Northwestern last week, 29-19, while the Nittany Lions had a bye week following their 27-26 loss to fourth-ranked Ohio State. Tomorrow's game marks the 33rd meeting between Michigan State and Penn State, with MSU leading the all-time series 16-15-1. The Spartans have won 4 of the last 5 meetings against the Nittany Lions, including a 27-24 victory last season at Spartan Stadium. We all remember that game, right? The crazy weather delay that lasted about 6-7 hours. Michigan State ranks first in the FBS in rushing defense, allowing just 33.8 yards per game. The 169 rushing yards allowed in the first 5 games of the season are the fewest in school history, dating back to 1945. Penn State is second in the Big Ten and fourth in the FBS in scoring margin at plus 28.6, leading the league and ranking 5th in the nation in scoring offense, averaging almost 50 points per game, 49.6 to be exact, while ranking 5th in the conference and 34th in the country in scoring defense, allowing 21 points per game. Wisconsin at Michigan. Number 15 Wisconsin will be playing the number 12 Wolverines in A Squared tomorrow. Catch the live action on ABC at 7:30 p.m. Also, College Game Day will be in his house for that one. This will be the 67th meeting between Michigan and Wisconsin. The Wolverines hold a 50-15-1 lead in the all-time series and have a 23-6 record in games played at Michigan Stadium, 28-7 all-time in Ann Arbor. U of M leads the Big Ten, get this, in 6 categories: total defense, scoring defense, pass defense, pass defense efficiency, interceptions, and punting. How about that? The Wolverines lead the nation in total defense and pass defense. Michigan's offense has been an efficient unit through the air, ranking 2nd in the Big Ten with a 159.3 pass efficiency rating, 21st in the national rankings. Quarterback Shea Patterson is 2nd in the league with a 160.7 pass efficiency rating. The number 8 Michigan State men's soccer team completes a busy week, taking on its 2nd team from the Buckeye State, traveling to Ohio State today at 5 p.m. The Spartans look to rebound after a tough loss to Akron on Tuesday, 2-1. Overall, Michigan State is 9-2-2 overall and 3-1-0 in the Big Ten. Ohio State is 1-9-2 this season, 0-3-1 in Big Ten action. The Michigan State women's soccer team heads west this weekend to take on Iowa tonight at 7 p.m. and Nebraska on Sunday in the final 2-game conference road trip of the regular season. The team has struggled in conference play so far, a record of 0-5-2. Michigan State women's volleyball heads out on the road for the first 2 of 4 straight matches away from Jenison Fieldhouse. The Spartans play tonight at Maryland and then Sunday afternoon at Ohio State. You can watch tonight's game live on the Big Ten Network. MSU takes on Maryland and first-year coach Adam Hughes. The Spartans own a perfect 9-0 record all-time against the Terrapins, including a perfect 5-0 mark since Maryland joined the Big Ten. The Terps are off to a 12-6 mark with a 3-3 record in the Big Ten Conference. Also, Michigan State hockey is in action tonight. MSU hockey seems optimistic about what's ahead as they prepare for their season-opening non-conference series against Northern Michigan, 7 p.m. tonight. 7:30 p.m. tomorrow at Munn Ice Arena. The Spartans most likely will be facing a major challenge in their season opener because Northern Michigan is coming off an outstanding year. The Wildcats, 25-13-3 overall, 19-7-2 in the WCHA last year, were one win away from making the NCAA tourney. MSU holds a 35-30-4 edge in the series, which started with a 5-2 MSU victory on October 24th, way back in 1980. But the Wildcats are 6-3-1 versus Michigan State in the last 10 meetings. The disparity in talent between the Detroit Red Wings and Toronto Maple Leafs was on full display yesterday. Led by their young superstars, the Leafs skilled their way to a 5-3 victory at Little Caesars Arena. The Wings kept the score close thanks to Jimmy Howard and a resilient third period, but they burned themselves with penalties. Austin Matthews scored twice on power plays to put his goal total for the season at 9. That's as many as the Wings have through 4 games. Howard finished with 32 saves as the Leafs scored an empty net goal with 20 seconds to go. The Wings drop to 0-2-2 and will go on the road for 4 games. An ugly start to the year for the Winged Wheel. And just a few games I want to highlight here in Week 8. Can you believe that? Week 8 of local high school football action. Waverly at East Lansing, Okemos at Holt, Grand Ledge at Everett, DeWitt at St. Joseph, Lansing Catholic at Fowlerville, Hazlitt at Goodrich, Lansing Sexton at Lansing Eastern, Mason at Muskegon Orchard View, Lake Fenton at Williamston, and Corunna at Ionia. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can join the show. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Check out the live stream there, and you can just type in a comment below. I'll do my best to read your comments throughout the hour. And you can tweet us, tweet the show, at WKAR_sports, or at least shoot us a follow there. Or you can tweet me directly and do the same at Al Martin, WKAR.
Exactly what the procedures and policies said. Now, could I go beyond those things? I mean, that's up for everybody's debate, but the time and place that everything happened, it was handled in the best way it could be handled. And so I regret that it happened. I regret that those poor survivors had to go through that. I regret that I couldn't help solve that. That's what I regret.
Ah, the SOS band ushers us in into our first discussion topic here on this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Happy Friday, everyone. I am your host of WKAR's Current Sports, Al Martin. Do you still care, as the SOS band just sung, right? Do you still care about this topic? As Michigan State is coming off, let's keep it all the way 100. The worst year in the university's history. Larry Nassar, going to prison and the victim impact statements that were read, shocking, not just our country, but our world. And then the ESPN report done by Outside the Lines that painted the Michigan State football program as well as the men's basketball program in a negative light, to say the least. A lot has transpired since those survivor impact statements back in January and since those ESPN reports were released by Outside the Lines, courtesy of the reporting of Paula Levine. And the latest news when it comes to Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio's programs, Michigan State has been cleared of any wrongdoing by the NCAA. And as I noted at the top of the hour, Tom Izzo gave a brief statement right before the first practice for Michigan State men's basketball. And, you know, he said he wasn't celebrating, of course, when that news comes out. But he felt confident that he had done everything right. And yesterday at Big Ten Media Day for Big Ten men's college hoops, Tom Izzo just kind of let all of his emotions just pour out. And he addressed, as you just heard, a brief snippet of that. He addressed everything that his program and himself have been through in this last year. And it has not been easy. And you could tell when Tom Izzo was at the podium during multiple games last men's basketball season for Michigan State. You know, you could tell that Tom was gripping the sides of that podium. He wanted to say something, but he just couldn't. He just couldn't for legal reasons. He wanted to go off, but he contained himself because he just couldn't. But now that everything is cleared up now and his program has been cleared, Izzo let his emotions pour out and gave you some very honest thoughts as to what he has been through, what the program has been through, what this university has been through throughout this year. So I want to play a little bit of that for you, and we'll get to Michigan State and Penn State. Trust me, we will, because I got some points I want to make about this game, and I want to hear from you fans out there. You know, if Michigan State, which they are predicted to do, and that is lose. Michigan State is predicted to lose. They are 13 and a hook. That's the line right now in favor of Penn State. Michigan State is predicted to lose against Penn State. If they do indeed do that, how does that affect your perception of Mark D'Antonio and this program moving forward? Can you get up for the Michigan and Michigan State game? And for those who have tickets to that game, will you be selling your tickets? Because I tell you what, you know, there has been a lot of reaction from fans out there after the Northwestern loss last week on homecoming. Most of it negative, and I get it. You know, this team coming in with 19 returning starters and the expectation really high, expected to compete for a conference championship. But it's quite amazing, though. You know, sure, you got some loyal Spartan fans out there. There are some. You know, some that tune into this show day in and day out. You know, Ben, Steven, Chris, I see you guys. You guys are diehard, and Chris is commenting right on our Facebook page right now. You guys are diehard. But for the majority of the fan base, you know, Michigan State fans have a very short temperament. When things go wrong and when you don't meet expectations, they are quick to just throw in the towel and say, yeah, this year is done. Okay, can we talk basketball now? So I'm going to get to that. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But here is Tom Izzo. We got two bites courtesy of our very own Connor Mathis. And Connor, I know we snagged these bites from one line. I know MLive had a stream up. Spartan Nation also had a stream up as well. Here, the first bite, Tom Izzo on the FBI college basketball probe during the press conference yesterday.
Chris Solari, Detroit TV Press. Tom, we haven't talked to you since the court hearing in New York. Your program was brought up in a good light. I guess, what is your response to that, to hearing that, and I guess maybe some vindication with that?
Well, for me, there's no vindication, but, you know, it's sad what's happened, and it's, you know, but the problem I have, Chris, is I learned last year that I don't know what's going on with all that court case stuff out there. I don't know what's going on with each program. I have enough trouble covering my own program. You know, it seems like if we passed judgment early, everybody in the world was guilty, and now it looks like, you know, it could go a different way. But I think it's sad for college basketball and college sports. I think it's the nature of the beast and what we dealt with. And I don't feel vindicated, because you shouldn't be commended for doing what you're supposed to do. You should be, and we didn't do anything any different than just about every program that I know here does it the same way. And I take my hat off to all the Big Ten coaches, and yet it's not healthy for our organization. It's not healthy for college basketball. It's not healthy for college sports. And hopefully something will come of it. I just not privy to know all the circumstances, so I'm not going to comment on things that I don't really know enough about and just speculate.
It's no secret that right now college basketball is under a lot of scrutiny due to this FBI probe that has some pretty big names in hot water. You know, the lid kind of came off of this story due to Brian Bowen and his recruitment, quote unquote, to the University of Louisville. And Brian Bowen is a player that Tom Izzo and Michigan State did go after, but as we found in this report, Tom Izzo and Michigan State was not going to play the kind of ball that Brian Bowen wanted them to play. And that's, hey, can you boss up some cheese for me to come there? Can you pay me to come and put on the green and white? Tom Izzo and his program said no. We're not going there, while other programs did. So you heard Izzo commenting on that. And in many ways, I'm sure that when Tom Izzo, because I would, you know, with everything that's happened with the ESPN report, and now with this report coming out that MSU was involved with Brian Bowen, and it coming out that, okay, you didn't pay Brian Bowen, you did things the right way, and, you know, the NCAA clearing Michigan State of any wrongdoing when it comes to the whole ESPN report, I'm sure that Tom Izzo has to feel vindicated in some way, shape, or form, because when you look at what has happened and all of the negative attention that this program has gotten, and now it comes out that Tom Izzo is not guilty of any wrongdoing, you got to feel some type of way there, right? Here is Tom Izzo when it comes to the off-the-court reports like the ESPN and so on and so forth. This audio courtesy of Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press.
I'm wondering about your offseason. I mean, was it hard to kind of move on from that, given how many things happened out of your control and put it behind you, or how did your kind of offseason?
Yeah, the offseason, I mean, if I use the word good, you know, I'm not going to use the word move on. I'm going to use the words that I learned a lot. I had a great appreciation for what all kinds of different people went through. And I told you I didn't feel exonerated, because I had already said in February what I thought. So that didn't have any play in it. What had play in it was the only way I could get better myself was to think, what can I do to help the cause, to make us a better institution, a better place? And that even grows into society now, the way everything's going around the country. So I got, you know, a few new missions in life, you know. Win a championship is one of them. It used to be for a while that was the only one. And so I've grown up as a coach too a little bit, you know. And the off season, I mean, it's been a tough 8-9 months for many, many, many people. And, you know, time doesn't heal, time helps heal. And learning helps heal. So I'm going to use those two things, time and what I've learned, to try to help heal a lot of people.
there anything going back to January that you would maybe feel either regret or wish you would have done differently?
No, see, I don't regret anything except that I couldn't talk. And it's easy to say, well, you could have talked. I couldn't talk. I wasn't winning that battle. There was no battle to win. The one time I did, I said the same thing that I said 4 months later, and now I said after the NCAA investigation. It was all the same, you know. And remember, it wasn't about what happened. It was about what Izzo and D'Antonio hit. It wasn't about what happened. It was about a picture that'll go down for the rest of my life as the lowest part of my life, being on there with a pedophile like I was on there with. So those things, I mean, I can't change anything that I really don't know anything. And I can't change anything that I did exactly what the procedures and policies said. Now, could I go beyond those things? I mean, that's up for everybody's debate. But the time and place that everything happened, it was handled in the best way it could be handled. And so I regret that it happened. I regret that those poor survivors had to go through that. I regret that I couldn't help solve that. That's what I regret.
The him staying with the team after some of the accusations and the charges.
You're talking about a punch? That's the one that was
yes.
There. Well, do you have something I don't have that has been legitimized?
I'm just saying, I don't think you've ever addressed it specifically.
No, and I'm not going to rehash things that have already been exonerated by the people, many different people. But it just goes back to what I just said. This accusation thing, I'm not going to comment on things that I don't even know. You saw my face when she brought that up. I had no clue. And would things be handled differently? I'm a little bit bothered to say yes. Every kid would be suspended for everything that happened. Now, some of those kids were suspended on things that happened. It's hard to suspend somebody, Dan, on something you don't even know about. I mean, I can't do that. So on some of that, I'd like to change everything and make sure nothing happened. But all I said is I could not. The procedures and the policies that were in place were followed to the nth degree, including the last one. Okay, that one, which part was true? I mean, living in my house, not true. Being employed, not true.
There was employment records that the school later produced.
On a summer camp, we're talking about what I got accused of there, and that was, I mean, remember now, there was nothing that has come out unless you have something.
Well, he traveled with the team, right? Wasn't he on the bench with the team?
Yeah, but I travel a lot of people with the team. I mean, he was a student.
Right.
I mean, was I going to...
He was a part of the program, I guess, is the way to say it.
Yeah, that's not what was. I was attacked for. I was attacked for. You have an employee, an assistant coach, lived in your basement. I mean, think of what I was. And listen, I am willing to answer questions, but I'm not going to rehash things because we don't have the facts on that stuff. And for some reason, everybody thinks I have the facts. I think it was pretty prominently known that I knew nothing about that. I mean, it was said by attorneys. It was said by other people. I'm not saying it happened, didn't happen, but I can't. I just can't do that. Let me ask you this: would you want me to do that to your kid?
Okay.
If you had a kid, would you want me? Do you have a cousin?
It's not really relevant to you.
Not to you. It's not really relevant to me on me having to make a decision on something that I didn't know happened.
So again, Tom Izzo with some very strong comments as he reflects on what has happened in the past 8 or 9 months in light of the Larry Nassar situation here at Michigan State University, and then the ESPN reports from Paula Levine and outside the lines. You know, I do want to say this. You know, as I've been thinking about this and listening to Izzo and digesting that those words from Tom since we got off the air yesterday, one, it was irresponsible journalism from ESPN to put the faces of Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio, who had been, and at the time, proven guilty of nothing, on the same graphic of a man in Larry Nassar, who is now incarcerated for the rest of his life due to unthinkable crimes. That is irresponsible journalism. And the elaborate piece that was put together, it just blows my mind how when you put something like that together, have we heard anything from ESPN yet? A follow-up from those reports? How does the worldwide leader like ESPN, how are they able to put out something like that with no follow-up? And now reports are coming out that, again, investigations have been held that, again, show that Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio are found guilty of nothing. Shouldn't ESPN be held accountable here in some way, shape, or form? Shouldn't that reporting be held accountable? Shouldn't we hear from them in some way, shape, form, or capacity here? ESPN coming out and saying, we apologize or we have to retract some of this. I have a problem with certain journalistic, and I use that very lightly, certain journalistic entities being able to put out something like that, proven wrong, and them not being held accountable. I just want to say that. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk some college football, Michigan State and Penn State, tomorrow afternoon in Happy Valley. We'll have some thoughts on that. Also, Tim Hurd, part two, president of Rising Black Men. We played part one for you yesterday. Tim will talk about his partnership with MSU Athletics, that and more. You are listening to the Fry-yay version of Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. On this October 12, 2018, Michigan State and Penn State will go at it on the football gridiron in Happy Valley as Michigan State tries to recover after that loss to Northwestern on homecoming. Last week, last Saturday, a 29-19 final in favor of the Northwestern Wildcats. You know, Connor Mathis, who's in every Friday, engineering Current Sports. Connor, we haven't heard your thoughts at all this week because, again, you're only in on Fridays. I want to get your thoughts on the Northwestern loss, but your thoughts on what I had to say at the beginning of the hour, because I feel like there are many Michigan State football fans out there who have totally jump shipped on this team. And the fact that Michigan State is a 13-and-a-hook point dog in this matchup against Penn State, if Michigan State does lose to Penn State, I don't know. I don't see the fan base getting up for any other game this year, including the game against Michigan. This fan base is beaten up already due to the loss against Northwestern. How do you see that loss, and if they lose against Penn State, that game affecting how the season is perceived in the eyes of green and white lenses?
Well, for one, I think the talk that the whole season's down the toilet is it's a little too early. I think if they keep dropping games like they do, then we can have this discussion in 2 weeks. Like if they drop Penn State, they drop Michigan, they drop Purdue, I think then we can officially get off the train. It's over. It's done. Mm. That being said, I don't think they're going to win against Penn State. I think the game's going to go one of two ways. I think Penn State's either going to shred the Michigan State defense through the air. They're the number 13 total offense. I mean, they're number one in red zone efficiency. I think they're either going to shred it, or the second scenario, and this is the only scenario I see Michigan State winning, is if they can keep it low scoring. If they can keep it like a brutal, like slugfest kind of game, I think Michigan State can eke out a win there. But even then, I'm not so sold on it.
It's going to take a lot, right? I mean, because this is a Penn State offense that averages about 50 points per game. Michigan State is averaging 27, and they get most of those points in the first three quarters, 75%. 75% of the game. In the fourth quarter, they've been outscored like 50-something to like 7 still, right? I mean, it'll take a lot. And Michigan State is going to have to score often and early in this game if they want to just be competitive, let alone win the thing. But, you know, moving forward, and maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but, you know, especially when I compare the Michigan State fan base to the Michigan fan base. Can we just do that for a second? Jim Harbaugh has won nothing in Ann Arbor, okay? Nothing at all. Hasn't even been to Indy to win a Big Ten championship. Yet, I don't hear Michigan fans going as out of their minds as Michigan State fans do when a down year occurs. I just don't. I feel like they are – Jim Harbaugh can do no wrong in Ann Arbor. Yet, if Michigan State loses one or two games, and it's still early in the season. Again, technically, I'm being very technical here, even though I don't think Michigan State is going to win on Saturday either. But Michigan State fans have a very short leash when it comes to losses. And if you do lose against Northwestern, it's like the whole fan base just says, skip this team. I am done with them. I'm selling my tickets. They jump ship. Whereas Michigan is kind of ride or die. I don't think there are many Spartan ride or die fans out there. Am I wrong in saying that?
I think a lot of it goes back to, like, if you look at historically Michigan State football success, it's few and far between. You got the 60s where it was really good, and then there's nothing until the 80s, and then there's nothing until D'Antonio. So I think a lot of it is whenever Spartans fans see that downside coming on, they get flashbacks to, oh my God, we're going to be bad for another 20 years. We gotta buckle down. Whereas Michigan, even though
they
have a history of success and they really haven't done anything, it's like they are very reactionary to like a quote unquote big loss. But other than that, they're kind of like, yeah, no, this team's going to bounce back because we're Michigan.
They are so positive. Michigan fans are like, so it does not matter what happens. They're like, all right, we're going to be fine. Michigan State, though, Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Jack, am I wrong in saying that? I feel like there aren't many ride or die Michigan State fans out there, man. I don't know. The student section? I can bring up the student section, for goodness sakes. The student section checks out early. It chucks up the deuces. You don't see that happen out in Ann Arbor. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I don't know how packed the student section was when Rich Rod and Brady Hoke were there. But, I mean,
still, it was still solid. Doing those games, students were still showing up. They were still consistently among the nation's leaders in attendance.
Pretty sure my brother dipped out to those games when Rich Rod and Brady Hoke were there, because
I'm just saying.
But I digress. I don't know. The point to there's more ride-or-die Michigan fans than Michigan State fans, I don't know. I mean, for me, I think expectations have kind of skewed people's perception of the program, and so maybe that's why you see a shorter leash, especially this season. Because to me, I don't think it's people hopping off the train for Michigan State football following this loss to Northwestern. It's the loss to Northwestern in concert with the poor start to the season, with the loss to Arizona State. Mm-hmm. It's people have, you know, kind of had the same quips about, you know, offensive coaching, and Dave Warner's been here for 5 or 6 years, however long. I think 2012 is when he started, but I digress. And, you know, in that time span outside of pretty much the 2014 team, you've seen very mediocre offenses, and it's really been, you know, the same complaints during that time that just, you know, you don't see much change. And I think people are starting to get frustrated because, you know, from my end of things, I'm seeing Penn State and Ohio State elevate their programs and go to the next level while State runs an archaic scheme and just continues to run in place. So for me, I don't know if there are more ride-or-die Michigan fans as opposed to State fans. I just think, as a Michigan State student myself, I think the writing kind of might be on the wall for Mark D'Antonio in terms of, I'm not sure he's going to win another Big Ten title, and it's frustrating to me because it's the same issues we've seen for several years now.
So you think he's hit a ceiling? You think Mark D'Antonio's hit the ceiling then?
Yeah, just because, again, you see what's going on with Penn State and Ohio State. Those trains aren't stopping, man. Yeah. They're going upwards, and State's doing the same stuff they've been doing for the last several years. Right. And yet, worked in 13, and it worked in 15. But I don't know if it's going to work in the future.
I hear you. And I think Mark D'Antonio has now become a victim of his own success. The same thing I say about Izzo. I mean, when you go to the college football playoff, when you win Big Ten championships, there is a certain expectation that the fan base is going to have now, because Michigan State wants to be among the elite every single year. They want that consistent success that we see from other programs out there. And when you fall short, the fan base is not going to be happy about that. All right. Real quick, before we get to Tim Herr part two, Connor, what must Michigan State do? And you kind of already answered it, in order to pull out a victory here. Can you give me maybe one or two players who has a big game tomorrow?
Has to have a big game. I think if Brian Lewerke, for one, has to get it on track. He's trying to do too much. A lot of things I saw in the Northwestern game that I didn't like was, you know, a lot of times he seems afraid to get hit. Like, and it's showing up as these crappy fumbles or poor throwaways or even the bad interceptions. I think, like, a prime example was there. Michigan State was in the red zone, like on like the one or the two, and there was an opportunity where he could, if he just took the sack, he just took his punishment, he would have been fine. But he tried to like shuffle it and it ended up being this messy play. I think Lewerke has to have a big game, you know. I think defensively, I think if they take away the run game, they have a chance. Penn State is middle of the road in terms of like third down conversion. So if they have a good third down defense, they have a better chance of keeping it close at least.
Final score for me, I'm going Penn State in a 31-14 win. That's where I'm going with it. Prediction, quick prediction.
I'll say 35-17.
35-17, Jack, real quick, score prediction.
24-10 Nittany Lions, I guess. No, 31-10, their offense. I'm not giving them enough credit. 31-10 Nittany Lions.
All right. Well, we're all going. I haven't seen anybody out there in their right mind pick Michigan State to win this game. If they do, it will be a big victory. Top 10 victory. So, all right. Well, they're here right on time as we have 15 minutes left in the hour. I want to welcome, after this break, our final break, I want to welcome to the show some representatives from Lansing Legends, the upcoming ABA basketball team coming to Lansing, Michigan very, very soon. They have some news concerning cheerleading tryouts for the squad. So that and more, we'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just gave you our predictions on the Michigan State and Penn State matchup taking place tomorrow on the road for the Spartans out in Happy Valley. Many are down on this Michigan State football team right now for good reason. I mean, you lose to Northwestern at home, a 10-point loss. You can understand why this fan base is frustrated. So, and now you play. This is also, Connor, this is an angry Penn State team, right? I mean, they just lost not too long ago to Michigan. They had a bye week last week, but they lost to, I mean, not Michigan, Ohio State, right? And they've taken 2 weeks off now. They're ready to get back at it. They still remember what happened last year as Michigan State fell. Michigan State beat them in that whole rain delay game. So they want some revenge here. I just don't see the Spartans winning tomorrow. All right. Your thoughts as we have just under 10 minutes left. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. As we come down now on the home stretch of this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, my man 50 Grand has just walked through Studio S. James Manuel, we've been in contact, James, now for a while throughout the summer, and we've been chatting. We've had you on the show to talk about the first year of your ABA basketball team coming right here to the area, the Lansing Legends
And we're right around the corner from the start of the season, right?
Man, I'm so excited, man. I'm ready to get it going already.
When's the first game?
Well, the first game is going to be November 3rd.
Okay.
In Detroit. And the first home game will be November 10th. Mm-hmm. But our first big celebration game will be November 17th, and that's what we're going to have. It's going to be kind of Lansing Legends Day.
The reason why we have you in here is because you have an announcement to put out there to our listeners. There is a tryout coming up, and it's a whole Lansing Legends family up in Current Sports today, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm just going to have everybody introduce themselves first, starting with my left, your right, for those watching on the Facebook live stream.
All right, my name is Tanea from Obsidian K-Dance.
And I am Raven from Obsidian K-Dance.
Tanea, Raven.
I'm PJ from Saginaw, Michigan.
PJ, and you're a player, right, CJ?
Yes, I'm a captain. PJ.
PJ.
Yes.
PJ. I said CJ. See, I'm so bad with names. PJ. Yeah. And?
I'm Stevie Repahowski from Lansing, Michigan. I graduated from Lansing Catholic.
Stevie?
Yep.
And are you a player as well, I assume?
Yep.
So is the roster solidified now, James?
Roster solidified. We got our coach, man. Wait till y'all come and see this team. I'm trying to tell you, got ballers.
So tell me a bit about the roster then. How deep is it? You know, PJ, Steven, are they playmakers for the squad? Yeah, tell me a little bit about the team.
Both of them, Steve's our shooter, and PJ is our captain. He's our leader.
Great stuff. Know, that's kind of some pressure, PJ.
Yeah, no, definitely. But, I'm ready for it. You know, I think that, you know, especially we got a lot of cerebral minds, you know what I mean, around the team from, you know, the owner down to the coaching staff to a couple different players that, you know, really want to buy into what we're trying to do. And I think it's going to be real big for everybody.
Okay, before we dive into tryouts, just real briefly, what kind of, to PJ and Steven, what kind of team will we be watching this year? What's the identity of the team going to be like, and how competitive do you think you guys can be in your first year with the Lansing Legends? I'll start with PJ.
Well, you know, I think, you know, every team's goal, I mean, it's our first year, but our goal is to win a championship. Everybody wants to do that. You know, we feel that if we can come together as a team and create continuity, you know, and have that bond and everybody buy into what the coaching staff wants us to do, then we can compete, and we're going to take it one practice at a time, one game at a time. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think that, you know, the identity of the team is going to be a real fast pace. Mm-hmm. I think that we got a lot of guys that are going to fill the lanes and shoot. Everybody can shoot the ball. I know Stevie's our shooter,
but
everybody can shoot the ball, and I think it's going to be, you know, kind of like that warrior type of feel. I'm not saying we're the Golden State Warriors, but you're going to have that type of feel when you come watch us play. It's going to be that type of excitement.
Okay.
In the gym.
Yeah, all right.
Branching off of what PJ said, I think that we're going to be a really fast team. Coach Jimmy was we had a scrimmage like 2 weeks ago, and Coach Jimmy was really on to us about getting up the floor fast and how the ABA rules are a little bit different. People are going to be going back and forth because they had this thing called the 3D rule.
Yeah, the 3D rule, right.
So, like, if you steal the ball and you convert on it, either three or a layup or two or a jump shot, whatever, you either get 3 points,
right.
You get another point added on, or if you hit a three, you get 4 points. So, you know, that's going to be our identity. You know, we want to play fast and you know, we really want to get up on the ball, too.
Okay.
High pressure defense.
I'm looking forward to watching you guys.
Yes, sir. Yep.
All right. Now, I want to get to the tryouts now. This is a whole experience. Tryouts for the cheerleaders for the Lansing Legends. Can you guys tell us more about that?
All right. So, first off, we are Obsidian K-Dance. So, how you vibing, guys? I'm Raven.
And I'm Tanea.
And we are Obsidian K-Dance.
Look at you guys planned that, right? When you guys we got this. All right, I love that. That was choreographed just now, okay?
Pretty much. So we are a dance duo, and we're based in Lansing, Michigan, and we perform around the area.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a YouTube channel and an Instagram, Obsidian K_dance is where we post dance covers and our own choreography, as well as updates for people who like our content.
Yep. And we are primarily K-pop dancing. K-pop dancing.
K-pop is huge
now.
Yeah. I didn't understand how huge it was until this last year's Olympics. And they had like a whole K-pop segment. I'm like, wow, this is a thing. Wow, okay, that's really cool.
Yeah, and that's mainly what we do. You know, like BTS.
Right.
On the AMAs and everything. Yeah. And we choreograph our own dances, so we're kind of special.
That's awesome stuff. Okay.
Yeah, and the reason why we're here today is because we are going to be performing at games for the Lansing Legends, of course, and we're looking for additional members to join our team so that, like, you know, we can have more people out on the stage to be dancing and hyping up the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That's
awesome.
What we're looking for.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And how you would like to audition for us is email us. So our email is obsidiankdance. So it's spelled obsidiankdance at gmail.com. Or you can text me at 517-515-2555. Yes, that is my real number. Yes. So just text me, email us for questions, info, and we will send you the audition link. And the link is due by the 17th.
The 17th is the deadline, right?
Yes.
And we'll be sure to put this information on our Facebook page as well as on the podcast version of the show, which we'll post to the website later. Okay. All right. So how many ladies are you looking for to join the squad?
It doesn't have to be just girls. It can be guys.
Guys,
anyone.
Too?
Yep,
right?
Anyone.
We don't discriminate, gender discriminate, right?
Nah.
Gotcha.
Anyone who just has a passion and, you know, just wants to join us. And this is a paid opportunity.
This is a paid opportunity. That's awesome.
Yes.
All right.
So we're looking for about 2 to 3 people to be added with us.
Wow. So the competition will be stiff then for those 2 to 3
yes.
spots. Love it. All right, James, I cannot wait for the start of the season. I can't wait to watch you guys out there play. And this is something that's going to be really, really special. Any final thoughts you want to let our listeners know about?
I mean, I just want everybody just to understand that this, you know, it's about the community. I mean, we're here to bring excitement and more celebration to the community. We have different types of vendors at the game. So we're just going to bring a celebration, you know, to the city, man. So just come and join us.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the website. We've got the dates and everything that's going to be up there. We're going to have singers at the games before and after. So
right.
you ain't going to just go home after the game. You got one more show before you go.
It's entertainment
yes,
all
sir.
Through and through when
yes,
it comes
sir.
To the Lansing Legends ABA
yes,
basketball
that's what
team.
We're here for.
Love it. James, thank you so much for your time. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
For your time.
Thank
all right. Appreciate
you.
It. Appreciate it. All right, as we have just 1 minute left, any quick reflection Friday for you, Connor, at all? Anything that happened this week in the world of sports or beyond that you want to mention? Kanye was at the White House, right?
Don't get me started on Kanye West. He
right.
is he's
yeah,
a moron.
Not, let's not go there, right? But, hey, the Pistons are playing tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I want to remind you guys of that. At the Breslin Center around 7 p.m., it was really cool to see the Cavaliers just practicing at the Breslin Center and Tyronn Lue there on the hardwood. But hey, folks, we'll see you Monday. We will have a full recap as to what goes down when it comes to Michigan State football on Saturday on the road against the Penn State Nittany Lions. You don't want to miss that. The Lions, the Detroit Lions, have a bye week, so we won't talk any Honolulu Blue on Monday. But hey, have a great weekend. We are on a 23-hour break. Well, more than that, actually, right? Be easy, people.